97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, California's Fair Pay to Play Act. Our guest, Brendan Marks, sports writer for the Charlotte Observer and a UNC alum. So, Brendan, let's jump right into it. The headline of the ESPN article starts with California defies NCAA. So this is a really, really interesting case. Essentially, the California legislature unanimously approved this bill, which was then signed into law by the governor, Gavin Newsom, saying that schools in California cannot penalize athletes for accepting money related to their images and likenesses. How big a deal is this?
Yeah, Dr. T, this has potential to completely reform the way that the NCAA model works. And obviously, that's not just because of the effects this will have in California. It's because of the potential domino effect it can have across college athletics throughout the nation. So, you know, for example, if you're the NCAA, you're looking at California now and you're saying, how do we square our bylaws that athletes are amateurs and they're not professionals with this idea that they now cannot be penalized for accepting compensation for their skills? So this is something where down the line, and we don't know exactly when it's going to be, this law isn't set to actually take effect until 2023. But down the line between now and 2023, there is going to be some sort of showdown between the NCAA and these states that are trying to figure out how is the best way for us to move forward in the era of college athletics. It's going to be really fascinating to watch.
Let's talk about the showdown. The NCAA, early in the process, and actually to me seems to have already started to back down a little bit about this, but early in the process said, okay, if you do that, your schools won't be able to compete for NCAA championships. Again, I feel like from some of the things I'm reading and hearing that they're starting to backtrack on that a bit, but that would be the leverage that the NCAA would have.
Right. Essentially, that is the leverage that the NCAA can have because, you know, and I in the NCAA, the ESPN article that you mentioned as well, the athletic director for San Diego State comes out and says, if we have to go and decide between keeping with NCAA bylaws or keeping with what is now California state law or what will become California state law, he says, listen, we're going to stay with the NCAA because basically his argument was that we don't understand how we could follow those rules and completely omit ourselves from being able to compete for championships, because that's obviously going to have negative recruiting effects and everything else that comes with this. So one interesting thing that's related to this, and again, this is an ESPN article that you had referenced earlier, Dr. T, is the fact that the NCAA at some point was arguing that this law was unconstitutional, that it violates rules against interstate commerce. So it'll be really interesting to see how states and the NCAA sort of come up with different agreements and how there becomes a standardized operating procedure, I guess you could say, for states around the country as far as what they're going to do with college athletes and compensation.
Yeah, one really interesting aspect of this was the signing of the law, the physical signing of the bill hosted by LeBron James. So it's like LeBron James and some other big-time people are behind this saying, you know, this has been wrong for a long time. These schools make millions of dollars off the images and likenesses of these and skills of these athletes, and the athletes don't get much at all. And the counter argument is, well, they get a college education. Okay, is a college education worth millions of dollars? I think it's more worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Right, exactly. So, and you know, the situation with LeBron is sort of an interesting one, too. And I listened to his comments about this whole bill signing and why it was so important and monumental. And in a case of somebody like LeBron, who very obviously is going to drive an entire team. It's going to drive a ton of economic revenue for a school. As LeBron said, people would have been wearing my jerseys in college. They would have been playing with me in NCAA basketball games, and I wouldn't have seen a dime from it. LeBron's obviously an extreme example, and given his background and upbringing, obviously you can understand how it would be frustrating for him to see, in the case of him, probably somewhere like Ohio State, it would have been incredibly frustrating to see Ohio State benefit off of his abilities and his skills, and he's not seeing a dime of it. So as far as the overall argument of whether a college scholarship in and of itself is compensation for an athlete, I definitely think it is. But at the same time, if you are in one of those revenue sports, especially whether you're a college basketball player at North Carolina, if you're a college football player at Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Georgia, wherever it is, those are definitely opportunities where you're going to be able to create a compensation and a value for yourself beyond just what a scholarship is worth. No matter if the scholarship is worth $20,000 or $100,000, I mean, some of these elite college athletes have the potential to be making that times 10, times 20, times 30. So you really have to decide when you're making that counter argument, is it truthfully an equivalent factor of them earning a degree, earning an education that's going to help them after their career versus the immediate windfall they could see from being allowed to profit off of their skill set?
And some people argue they're not getting an education anyway if they're one and done, or they go to the NFL after a couple of seasons. So let's get into the discussion about the worth of a scholarship versus the worth of everything else they could earn when Sports Focus returns.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about California's Fair Pay to Play Act. We're talking with Brendan Marks of the Charlotte Observer. So, Brendan, it's a matter of scale. Is there worth in a college scholarship? Well, of course there is. any student who came to college would want to have a scholarship, right? But is it worth the same as what they could earn by doing commercials for the local tire store or the Chevy dealer or any of these other things? And not just male athletes. You think of some elite female athletes who could probably command some decent money as well.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the big things that is getting sort of swept under the rug or forgotten in this issue is the fact that this is disproportionately going to affect female athletes compared to male athletes, because the way that American sports are structured at the professional level, there are so few opportunities for professional female athletes still. Somehow there's still not a real way for them, a real avenue to build a lifestyle strictly based off of their athletic performance. So when you are in college, especially if you're one of the more dominant college athletes at your respective sport, respective position, I mean, for example, you look at the UNC women's soccer team or field hockey team or women's lacrosse team, those athletes, when they're in college, that's their prime earning opportunity. That's when they have the ability to say, hey, I'm a national championship winning field hockey player. What can I do to make money? Maybe I can receive internet endorsements. Maybe I can sponsor products and be a brand ambassador. Maybe I can teach lessons or camps or clinics where I'm able to pass on my skills, but to be compensated for teaching them. So especially I feel like female athletes are not being fully entered into this discussion. I feel like we think about this so much strictly in terms of how it's going to affect football and men's basketball players. But female athletes especially, this is an opportunity for them if this Fair Play Act does sort of become the standard across the country and replace what the NCAA policy has been. It's a great opportunity for female athletes to finally earn some money, especially during what can be the peak of their playing careers.
All right. So one of the arguments against, coming from the NCAA, of course, is this would make it unattainable to reach the goal of providing a fair and level playing field. Well, based on the argument you just made, it would make for a fairer and more level playing field to give those female athletes a chance during the height of their athletic prominence. What would be an un even playing field is for California schools to allow athletes to do this and North Carolina schools not to. You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen with all the five-star athletes? They go to the schools in California.
Right, understandably so. And that's why this showdown that is coming is going to be so essential because, you know, again, if I'm a five-star athlete, let's say I'm a five-star quarterback out of Texas, and I'm trying to decide, do I want to go to Texas or do I want to go to USC? Well, I'm looking at the opportunity for me to earn additional compensation in California. I'm taking that option 10 times out of 10. And the way that that would completely flip recruiting, the NCAA is not going to allow that to happen, even though they'll argue that you can't compete for championships or whatever. I mean, where this is not a status quo is not going to be a sustainable standard. There has to be some measure of evenness, some measure of fairness, some measure of equality across the entire nation as far as what schools are allowed to offer their athletes. Because, again, as you said, this will negatively impact recruiting. It'll impact transfers. It'll impact college graduation rates. It'll impact people going or staying for the NFL draft, the NBA draft. I mean, it will completely change the way that athletics are looked at if there is a disparity. So you've almost got to come to some sort of agreement. And from what I've read, it sounds like other schools may end up actually preempting California and trying to pass their own legislation. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the NCAA handles this and how they try and standardize this and square it with their bylaws.
So this domino effect, I think the train has left the station. The NCAA can bluster and argue all it wants to, but there's no way the NCAA could enforce the, well, then you're not going to get to play for a championship argument that they have.
Right, right. And I totally agree with you. I mean, the NCAA has lost federal antitrust laws. They've lost those lawsuits in the past. And I think that would essentially be what would be the case if they tried to make that argument that, oh, no, you know, if you're compensating your athletes, then we're not going to allow you to participate. That's a violation of antitrust law. So I really don't see the NCAA having a ton of leverage here. And I think that's why you saw NCAA President Mark Emmert coming out so strongly against this bill before it was actually passed into law, because he knew sort of the Pandora's box that it would open for him. And listen, you know, you hear other athletes, you know, Tim Tebow, I know, especially a couple of weeks ago, came out and said, you know, that he was not necessarily for compensating athletes. And you hear other people, though, that have come out. And I mean, Mike Leach from Washington State coming out and saying that this is going to detract from sort of the fabric of college athletics. I don't really buy that. I think that college athletics are about, at their core, enhancing the lives of student athletes. It's about making student athletes better overall people, better overall athletes. And it's about enhancing schools' reputations by letting those athletes sort of shine and develop into the stars that they have the potential to be. This is the next step in that process. This is the next step in letting these athletes, who are right now the only people who are not allowed to compensate for their skills on a fair market, you know, it sort of just falls into line with the way that our society is structured with capitalism. Athletes have never been allowed to, at the college level, profit off of their own likeness. They're the only people who are not able to. This is the start of reversing that, and I really don't see a situation where we're going back to the true quote-unquote amateurism that we've seen in the past.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. Our guest today is Brendan Marks of the Charlotte Observer. We are talking about California's Fair Pay to Play Act. So another one of the arguments, this would blur the line between professionalism and amateurism. That's something that you hear all the time. The Pac-12 statement, again, in my opinion, was almost laughable. It will lead to the professionalization of college sports. Well, you think it's not already professional, you know, especially for football and men's basketball. You know, we have to consider education first. All the talking points that, you know, anyone who follows this knows that the NCAA does not go education first. That's just a talking point. So Skinner, who is one of the proponents of this, basically says threats are really the NC2A's only weapon at this point.
Yes, basically. And, you know, the idea that the argument that college athletics have not already been professionalized, I mean, that's as laughable as any statement that the Pac-12 could put out. I mean, that is, in my opinion, a total farce. You look at the revenue that college sports drive. You look at the way that college athletics positively or negatively impact schools overall, as far as entrance requirements, as far as an influx of applicants or a lack of applicants, the way that it builds the overall brand of the school, the way that it leads to professional deals with athletic companies, with Nike, with Under Armour, with whoever it is, Adidas. There is no way to argue that with all of that money flying around, especially the fact that college coaches are allowed to be compensated for their likeness. They're allowed to star in commercials. They're allowed to hand out products and have camps and things like that. So the idea that the athletes themselves, the ones who are driving this train, are the only ones not seeing the benefit is sort of ludicrous to me. And to me, honestly, when I hear people argue that this is going to professionalize college athletics, it sounds to me, when I hear that, like people are afraid of themselves not, again, being in the driver's seat. They are afraid of letting athletes have more power, have more control, have more of a seat at the table. That's an understandable apprehension, because the way the NCAA has been structured for so long, it's the people in the big fancy offices looking down at the field who have been able to make the decisions that impact the people who are playing. If this law becomes the standard across the country, that won't be the case anymore. And that's scary for them, but for the athletes, and I think for everybody overall, this is probably the best decision moving forward. This is a step in the right direction, at least.
All right, so we agree that the Pac-12 statement is laughable. You've already alluded to this one, but because it is, in my opinion, so laughable, let's tag this again. Wicker, who is the San Diego State Athletics Director, if it comes down to following the law, or following an NC2A rule, we're going to follow the NC2A. That what?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
You're going to defy the law because it's a rule at the organization that you're a member of? That doesn't
right.
That's ludicrous.
It doesn't make any sense. And I, again, I think that sort of goes back to my previous point that these people are so used to the model that they operate under, wherein they are allowed to squeeze value out of these teams without really being forced to provide any compensation for the people that are driving their action. I mean, for example, if San Diego State were to be going to the college football playoff, or you know, if they have a really successful season, those players are going to have opportunities for commercials, or to be brand ambassadors, to promote products, to teach camps, to teach clinics. I mean, you know, for other, you know, media opportunities. I mean, there's going to be tons of ways that these people can benefit from their likeness and their skills. And when an athletic director comes out and says that we're not going to abide by a law that's compensating them, you know, if I'm an athlete hearing that, I feel personally offended. I feel like, why are you not supporting the fact that I can now go out and provide for my family when I'm in college? Why, you know, the other thing that we think about so often, and I think that is another part of this argument that might be getting left, you know, sort of on the cutting board, is the idea that if this were to theoretically come to pass, there's a potential that it really enhances actual college athletics, that it really enhances the product on the field. If you have athletes who are trying to decide between going professional and staying in college because of the fact that they need the money, or they're trying to provide for their families, or anything like that, if you're allowed to stay in college and start to earn some of that money while you're there, I don't think it's crazy to think that some of those people don't go pro. And, you know, that maybe that means an extra season for a star quarterback or an extra season for a point guard. They don't feel as inclined to go one and done. So I think that there's a real chance that this not only positively impacts athletes and their ability to earn money for themselves, but I think there's a real chance that it positively impacts the game and makes college athletics on the whole a better product.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Brendan Marks. Thanks also to engineer Michael Coe. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.